All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. It's the Grim Article Show with Dead Penetration.
What's up?
And before we get started, let's talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. You can go check out the Spinning Robot Pussy, and you can also get the Follow Me Eyes from Revy Innovations. Revy Innovations is also the one who brought you Sengoku Rants, what he said was a dumpster fire. I apologize, Revy. I'm not really good at those kind of games, and he said he wants to do an interview, and he wants to do a show with me where he shows me how to play the game. And yes, Grim needs to know how to play these kinds of games, because I'm not that great at it, but I did enjoy it. Now, however, I was supposed to be playing Rants 6, but that didn't happen because I got hooked on Dark Souls. I started playing Elden Ring Dark Souls and all that. But I'm probably just going to go ahead and go back into Rants because I do need to finish it. I'm very close to finishing it, so I do want to get it done after all these years. Because I can go back to Dark Souls, and besides, I'm in the process of downloading the remastered Dark Souls, which has the DLC. This one doesn't. So, it sucks. I have to re-level up my guy and everything. He's on level 14. And those games. Ugh. So there's one thing I can say about Dark Souls, you know, playing Elden Ring and all that. One of the things I don't like about these games is that, well, yeah, I know they're supposed to be brutally hard and get good and all that. But the thing about it is, what you basically have to do is you have to fight enemies, and of course, you know, when you lose your souls that you gain from beating enemies, they give you a chance to go get them. But if you die before you get the souls, you lose the souls that you had before. So if you had like 1,000 souls and you die, and you get 300 souls trying to get to your 1,000 that you left, well, you lose the 1,000. So, and that makes it harder to level up. So, instead of going further into the game, you pretty much end up staying in one spot for a long period of time, just going back and gathering souls and going back to the bonfire, because that's the only way you can level up in the game. So, you just do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And yeah, I get it, that's the grinding part of it. But it's really kind of annoying, I think. It doesn't feel like I told the guy that's pretty much an expert at it. I said, it doesn't feel like I'm going anywhere. It doesn't feel like I'm progressing. It feels like I'm just doing the same thing over and over and over again in the game. And it's like taking forever to do some of the most simple things in the game. And again, the bosses get really powerful and they're really cheap and shit like that. Which I know there's people in there who can beat the game without getting hit and all that stuff, which is great. I mean, I'm glad to see that level of skill. But, I mean, and they did say, you know, some people say, well, maybe these kinds of games aren't for you. And yeah, maybe they aren't. Maybe something more like Rika is more for me, even though it can get fucking hard. There's some really hard bosses in this game, actually. There's some bosses that gave me hell. I had to die like 8-10 times on some of these bosses, especially that fucking bird. But, yeah, that's just how I feel about the whole Dark Souls thing that, you know, everybody, the Dark Souls, Elden Ring. Elden Ring is a beautiful game, by the way. It's absolutely gorgeous. Oh. We played it on open mic, if you guys, I don't know when this video is coming up, but if you guys didn't see it on our open mic, check it out, because, you know, I show a lot of the game. I also show a lot of the open world. We run into a dragon, get killed by a giant crab, and I end the video. But, yeah, that's the kind of game you're talking about. And it is really nice, I will say that. It's just, I don't know. It's not really for me, I guess, because, again, you just sit there and level up and level up. Now, some people may say, well, yeah, but don't you do that in, like, a turn-based RPG? Like, Rant 6, for example. I like to fight every single battle I get into. Like, that's one of the things I've always done in RPGs. And they're like, well, you're not going anywhere. And I'm saying, well, no, you're wrong. Because I fight the battles on my way. I don't stay in one spot and fight the same battles over and over and over again. I progress as I go through the dungeon in Rants. And occasionally there's these red little globs that you run into. And if you are red orbs, and if you run into those, you fight a super boss. Like a really tough battle. So, you know, I like to do those because you get, like, extra experience and all that stuff, and it's fun and challenging. That's a challenge to me. But, you know, staying in one spot, fighting the same enemies over and over and over and over and over again to level up little points, and not even having a guarantee that you keep your experience, that's the thing that fucks me up. Yes, you can die in a game like Rants or any other RPG and you lose your experience points. But it's so much easier to do in like Dark Souls or Elden Ring, because when you die and you lose the experience you've gained, like, you can die that quick. Like, it may take a while in an RPG. Like, you may fuck up or something like that, but it doesn't happen automatically. But in the game where there's a lot of cheap shots, enemies can just do shit that you don't expect sometimes. Yeah, that can really frustrate you because, yeah, you're like, damn it, I lost those souls and now I can't level up to what I wanted. And I might as well just go back and forth and run back and forth to the bonfire every 5 minutes. And that, it really isn't fun to me. And then another person's like, if you don't like those, you won't like RTS. I said, I don't like RTS anyway. I mean, I've never been an RTS guy. RTS is real-time strategy, like Warcraft, Starcraft, stuff like that. I've tried playing games like that. I gave them a, like, I gave them a go, and they're just not for me.
Yeah, you.
I don't even really like those. I
love World of Warcraft.
Well, that's like, that's completely different. That's yeah. Yeah, we're talking about old school Warcraft with units and stuff like that. Which, I mean, they have strategy RPG games like Venus Blood, which I'll attempt them. I'm not promising anything. And the same thing with Rants. Rants is a strategy RPG. I'll attempt that shit, but I'm not promising I'm gonna do well. Because I fucking suck at those kind of games. But anyway, guys, let's go ahead and talk about my recent health excursion. Well, so I went to the doctor, went to the GI. No, nothing was done. They're going to do something on Monday. It's just an endoscope. Nothing big. But basically, I told my doctor. I mean, he didn't even have time to sit. He didn't even sit down. Like, he was still standing up. I saw my doctor for about 5 minutes. I talked to the nurse for about half an hour. And then I talked to the doctor for 5 minutes. But the nurse, I pretty much told him, I said, look, I just want to make sure that I'm okay because I'm feeling better and all that. And I got a lot of problems with mucus and sinuses and stuff like that. And I just want to see if, you know, if this acid has anything to do with it, if it's sinuses, you know, the weather's changing. Maybe things are, you know, go back to normal a little bit. Maybe it's just I get bad reflux in the winter. I don't know. I don't have the itching in my chest that bad anymore. And that could be because the weather's changing. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things. I've still taken the aloe vera gel every morning and night. And I told the doctor that. No omeprazole, no Prilosec, no Tums, no nothing. Gum. Sugar-free gum. That's what I take when I have heartburn.
Is that good for it? Or
yeah. Well, for some people, they can't have it, but I can. Some people, it makes it worse. For me, it doesn't.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, everybody has different things.
Yeah.
My heartburn's not so bad. Like, when I say I have heartburn, if I eat, like, you know, you get heartburn, you eat, like, tacos or something, like, heavy, you know, like, spicy shit.
I don't know. I haven't had heartburn lately.
Well, how much spicy shit do you eat?
Oh, a lot. I just got me some spicy guacamole today.
And no heartburn, huh?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, I just ate the spicy chicken sandwich and didn't really get heartburn. I mean, it's whatever.
Well, I think I've cut a lot of my salt, like, stuff that didn't taste that salty to me before, now are extremely salty.
Yeah.
And so, like, been making soup and stuff at the house, I just don't add as much
salt,
sodium.
Yeah. Well, my sodium is pretty high. I will say it's high. So.
Oh, mine's, like, under normal.
Okay, yeah, mine's high. So that's probably one thing I need to work on. But yeah, my salt's pretty high. And I can confirm that from blood tests. So yeah, I'm right on the edge. Like, I'm right on the... It's 144 is where it gets too high. I'm at 144.
Need to make sure you drink plenty of water, help flush it out.
Yeah, I am. I'm drinking a lot of alkaline.
You know, a lot of sodium holds water.
If I drink a lot of water, that could help with it.
That's like the number one thing you can do is drink water for a lot of things.
Okay, well, I drink a lot of water at work. I drink those great big bottles of water.
I drink about 10 bottles or more.
No, I drink the big ones.
Yeah.
The big, like the volcano water. I drink two of those things one day. Yeah,
Fiji?
No, right next to the Fiji.
Okay.
Yeah, they got the volcano water. I drank two of those.
Heard of that one yet.
They're about that big, and I drank two of them.
That's good.
That actually, yeah, I'm gonna start doing that because they're refreshing.
I mean, people.
Oh, and by the way, we have a freezer now. We have a drink cooler now.
Oh.
Yeah, so they put all kinds of bottled water in there, but I still prefer to have the big bottles of volcano water.
Yeah.
It's just refreshing.
Well, it tastes, sometimes it's better, but yeah, I gotta have my water cold, I think.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter to me on water.
I mean,
coolers.
I will drink it in the room temperature, but I can get it.
But my doctor didn't even really say that much to me. He's like, oh, well, you say you're feeling better, but you need an endo. He said, why? I told him, well, I want to make sure. I said, I feel good, but I want to make sure I'm good. I want to make sure there's no esophagitis. I said, you guys know the results of the old endoscopy. Like, you guys know about the gastritis and bile reflux and all that. I said, I want you to check, make sure I don't have inflamed esophagus, make sure all this other stuff isn't going on. Just check me and see if I'm ready to go. If I don't, do I need to be on omeprazole? What do I need to be on? I just do what you do and tell me whether or not I'm good. If you say, oh, there's nothing wrong, you're all good, there's nothing to worry about, then I'll go on my happy way. And I even told the nurse, I said, I'm tired of seeing, I've been seeing doctors and stuff for months, but the health arc is getting over with. I'm kind of done with the health arc. The health arc was supposed to be over with in fucking January. But here I am still in the health arc.
I've been seeing doctors every week for the past 5 years.
I know, but I'm trying to get out. I'm getting out of the health arc. I understand where you're at is a different situation, but I'm trying to get out of the health arc because all my tests are coming up positive. I mean, negative. It's all healthy, healthy, healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. Doctors tell me there's nothing wrong with me.
Well,
if there's nothing wrong with me, then let's go ahead, look in this fucking body, make sure everything is straight, and if it is, I'll go my happy way.
They're trying to tell, like, they probably already suspect you of being a hypochondriac or something, it sounds like, the way you're saying it.
Well, no, not even like that. I was saying, just check me, make sure it's good, because I said, I feel good, but I want to make sure that everything is good here. If everything's good, you check it out, make sure everything's all right, you know, that I don't have any... Basically, I'm trying to make sure I don't have the problems I had in December. That's what I'm trying to do. If I still have the issues I had in December, then I need to get... Probably be on omeprazole or something like that.
Do you feel way better than you did?
I do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the symptoms aren't there.
Well, I'll tell you, as far as the acid reflux, like, just start...
Yeah.
Watching your sodium's the big one, too, because that...
I did tell her, I said, I talked to somebody we know from work, and she told me at her old age, she said, all you have is bile reflux and gastritis? Almost everybody has that, she said. She said, that's one of the most common things that people have.
Yeah.
She said, that's nothing to worry about. And it's like, I mean, people have it all the time.
Well, I mean, the reason it is because... the American diet, so...
No, yeah, the American diet's bad. But she's like, no, everybody said... It's like, that's what you're worried about? All that? It's like, don't worry about that.
If you get a lot of frozen processed foods, they have a lot of salt in them.
I know.
And other preservatives that they don't...
You can't
even find ingredients for if you're looking for them individually.
Start drinking more water.
Yeah, drink more water.
That's it.
Try that.
I mean, I can drink those waters like crazy.
It really does. And it fills me up. I hardly eat near.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I even drank on Sunday, and I didn't even have an issue.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have no heartburn, no crazy, no nothing.
I'm still a ways away from having my first beer since surgery.
Yeah, well, I had some rum, believe me. I had some rum, and I went on ranting.
Oh, I've been
playing
some rum.
I had rum, and we were playing Elden Ring. I went on about these thoughts and everything. It's a good one. Y'all will want to catch that.
I was wanting some moonshine from that distillery
up there.
In the town over.
Yeah. Well, all right. Since we've done all this and talked, the health stuff and the game stuff and all that, let's get on to your stuff. Okay, so let's go on ahead, and we will start with the articles that are surely posting right here. Okay, so where are we at? Okay. Oh, wow. I forgot about this.
You did.
Okay, here's one. This is one that we didn't do last time. It's pretty important. Well, maybe a little bit. I mean, it's not like a necessity, but it's interesting enough. Brittany Renner claims that men have lost interest in her. This is a weird fucking website, so I don't know if it's true or not, but we're going to go with it.
Is it anyone we should know, or is it just a woman named Brittany Renner?
I don't know. Brittany Renner is an undoubtedly a beautiful woman. The Instagram model and social media influencer was indeed one that many men would fawn after. But perhaps due to Renner's moves in public with various famous athletes, the number of men that would usually be checking for her significantly decreased. Brittany Renner might have just been shocked on the reasons as to why she feels men have seemingly lost interest in her. The social media influencer has quite the reputation on her name. Brittany Renner, 29, has had many high-profile relationships, including with 23-year-old athlete PJ Washington, with whom she became embroiled in child support drama. Brittany Renner has constantly made light of the scrutiny. Sorry, a friend of mine is texting me. Scrutiny she's faced on social media for seemingly grooming young athletes on the come up. Oh, I didn't know that. Whether it's hopping to social media to show when she's randomly popped up on a college campus to announce that it's stepdaddy season, or for people to hide your sons, Renner seems unapologetic in her doings. For instance, Brittany Renner and the Charlotte Hornets player's relationship made headlines after it was revealed she split from him following the birth of their son. TMZ reported that PJ Washington was on the horn for a hefty $200,000 child support payment over the next 18 years. This would cause social media to storm as many began to clown the NBA star for falling for Brittany Renner's trap. However, Washington attempted to debunk the rumors by coming onto Twitter and saying, "Stop the cap." But a video resurfaced around the time of the drama that seemed to prove Brittany Renner's intentions. In the video, Renner can be heard giving advice to women, coaching them to get with athletes, yet in the same breath calling them the worst people to deal with. None of them use condoms, really, she said. So if y'all really want to try to come up off a check off a man, you could just mess with an athlete. The fitness model then concluded the clip by labeling athletes really dumb and giggling. The statement was jarring for many, but Renner was eventually officially invited to speak to Jackson State's football player's head coach, former NFL player Deion Sanders, in December of 2021. Sanders felt the need to school his players on both life on and off the field and traps that some women may set for them. Renner, who compared her DMs to the Nike store, nothing but blue checks, told the young men that the more their names and profiles get prominent, the easier it is for them to be targeted. Naturally, if you play a sport, it's kind of like that. That's an incentive to talk to you, Renner said. Everybody wants something. But not everybody wants Brittany Renner, it seems. The social media influencer recently had a conversation with NFL player Cam Newton for his podcast Funky Friday with Cam Newton. According to Renner, after the release of her 2018 tell-all memoir, Judge This Cover, she experienced a swift decline in her DMs. Renner's book detailed intimate romps with celebrities like Trey Songz, Drake, and Colin Kaepernick. Renner's thoughts are that because she leaned into the villain that she was painted as, it scared her potential suitors off. Cam Newton offered his opinions as to why the men couldn't be blamed for the resistance towards her. The Carolina Panthers player insisted that he would never slide in her DMs because he refused to end up in her book.
Yeah. Or Newton
explains to Brittany Renner that he understands that she may have felt it was necessary for her to come up, but she used the privacy of others to do so. The 2015 NFL MVP explained things from his side of the coin, admitting that she's attractive, but he'd need to tread lightly in her case. Cam Newton shared his thoughts on how revealing the Instagram model could be to various high-profile blogs and how she fails to use discretion, which could cause damage to someone in his position. However, someone like him could have just reached out with the intention of having a good time. I don't feel like my time is being respected and protected, he explained to Brittany Renner. Let me check something here, guys.
Yeah, I looked her up. She...
Okay, yeah, we are recording. Just making sure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but I didn't know.
So, yeah, we're recording. I didn't even know I had it, but I've got it. Everything was recorded.
Awesome.
Oh, let me see here. What is this? What is this? Oh, what is... Oh, okay. Shadow Warrior 3 comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a big freaking day release for games. You got Elden Ring, you got Shadow Warrior 3, Elex 2 is coming out in a day or two. There's a lot of games coming out right now. It is the spring. Games usually do like to come out around the spring. Dusk Diver 2 release. I actually like that first Dusk Diver. It's pretty cool. So there's quite a few. I've noticed. What was there? Atelier Sophia 2 came out. There was also Evenickel 2, obviously. It's been a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff coming out. We're going to get more of it, both in the Arrowgate and the regular gaming market, indie and all that. So yeah, be on the lookout, guys. There's going to be some new games for us to play in 2022. Of course, I know you guys are all loving Elden Ring. I know. I've played it myself. It is a fun game. It is addictive. Let's not lie. Even though you die quickly, it's still fun to play and look at shit. So yeah, they did what they wanted to do with that one. Okay. So... we've got some other things to say. Now, this Brittany Renner, basically, she's like, oh, guys aren't interested in me because I wrote a tell-all book, and I basically said, hey, all these guys are, you know, she basically talked down to them. That's what she did. She basically talked down to them and all this shit. So these people reading it are like, well, if that's the way, because nobody wants to end up in her next book, you know? It's like they don't know if she's gonna write another book later when she's like 50 or something, and then they get their fucking name dropped.
Well, when you think about it, she's doing the same thing that women gripe about some men doing,
right?
Which is just bragging about it, not being a gentleman, keeping it to themselves.
Absolutely.
Don't tell people about my encounters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, now we have another one. This is February 19th. That wasn't that long ago. It's a tweet. Sorry about that. I gotta open up my Twitter. Breaking! Jeffrey Epstein associate Jean-Luc Brunel found dead in cell. Okay, well, that wasn't much there, but yeah, that did happen.
It seemed like I heard something about that. Who was it again?
Jean-Luc Brunel. It was associate of Jeffrey Epstein. He's found dead in his cell. I wonder why.
Wonder if the Clinton Foundation had anything to do with it.
Now, we got some gaming stuff here, too. I mean, we talk about everything. This is Nintendo Life. Thousands of dollars of rare factory-sealed Super Nintendo games unearthed after 27 years in storage. When a video game store in Nebraska closed its doors for the first time in 94, its entire stock was packed away and placed in storage, waiting for a new owner. Wow. Now, almost 30 years later, the stock has been unearthed and documented. And YouTube channel This Is Game Room was there to record it. As you can see from the video, the collection includes factory-sealed Super Nintendo Entertainment Systems, Genesis, Saturn, 3DO, and Sega CD games. It's jaw-dropping stuff. Castlevania Bloodlines, Brain Lord, Breath of Fire 2, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, Sunset Riders, Contra Hardcore, great game. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, great game. You'd be surprised how much that game sells for now.
Turtles in Time.
Yep, sealed. It is worth a lot of money, over $1,000.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 3, and Secret of Evermore. We're talking thousands of dollars of new old stock here, mixing with some more common titles like FIFA and Madden. As IGN points out, Turtles in Time is worth over $1,400 on its own in factory sealed form, while Final Fantasy 3 can fetch up to $1,200 and Sunset Riders $750. Breath of Fire 2 is worth upwards of $1,200, and Aladdin, despite being one of the less notable titles here in terms of rarity, can fetch up to $500 if in sealed condition. Meanwhile, Chrono Trigger is worth over $600 in good use condition, so the factory sealed price is going to be much higher than that figure. It's an incredible find containing several holy grails of North American Super Nintendo Entertainment System and Genesis collecting. So that's cool.
Oh yeah. Wish I'd never opened my video games now.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
I say that. I enjoy playing them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Masahiro Ito wishes he never made Pyramid Head. Refuses to explain. A strange bit of thoughts came this weekend as Masahiro Ito wishes he never made Pyramid Head, the visionary artist revealed today. I wish I hadn't designed fucking Pyramid Head, Ito said on his Twitter. Pyramid Head is easily one of the most iconic things from the Silent Hill series, Konami's survival horror franchise that Ito had a huge part in the original games. Okay. Fans were immediately wondering why Masahiro Ito wishes he never made Pyramid Head, but it seems like we'll never know the answer, as Ito refuses to explain like other great creators of our time. I don't tweet the reason, he said. This kind of refusal to explain your work, especially from an artist, naturally leaves many people extremely confused. Fans were begging him for some kind of explanation, but perhaps there really is none. The reason is not that I can't get paid for the statues, Ito said in another follow-up. I've never gotten paid for those in the first place. Red Pyramid Thing, more famously known as Pyramid Head, is a terrifying human-looking monster that first appeared in Silent Hill 2. Ito served as the main designer for the monsters in the first three games. It's certainly odd that Ito is dropping such a bomb on the Silent Hill fandom, as he's generally seemed to enjoy talking about the creation of the monster over the years. Edges of Pyramid Head's helmet is inspired by skirt of lower hull of German tank King Tiger in World War II, Ito said. Yes, I'm a World War II German tank enthusiast. Ito also talked about the symbolism behind Pyramid Head and the gruesome things it does in the game. The scene of Pyramid Head abusing two mannequins, that doesn't mean rape, he said. Wow, he was really strict on saying that Pyramid Head did not rape these mannequins. I wanted to depict the Pyramid Head as trying to remove the visions from James's mind, Ito elaborated. Those mean L figure, BHN nurse, etc. PH tries to make him face to the fact by that. This means his conflict in his mind. He's still afraid to face it at that time, so he shoots a gun in the closet. The Silent Hill artist really had a big hand in practically everything with the monsters and even planned out his cutscenes, too. I designed model built all the creatures and all the animations of them from Silent Hill 2. Also thought of all the plans of... what are you talking about? Pyramid Head, PH, yeah. Of Pyramid Head's cutscenes and built them by myself, he said. But I've never said that the scene of Pyramid Head abusing two mannequins means rape. I can understand his acting looks sexual, though. A few years ago, Ito did reveal his misconception of Pyramid Head's assault on the mannequins apparently led to him having issues dating. Huh. By the way, I couldn't get a girlfriend because of this at the time, he said. Wow!
Well...
The most recent mainline game in the series was Downpour, which Pyramid Head naturally made a cameo in. Perhaps Ito wasn't happy with how Konami became over the years and how Pyramid Head ended up in the Silent Hill Patchy slot. Yeah, don't forget that he was part of the Pachinko game that they made for Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And there's new news to report. Apparently, the Silent Hill website... Nobody did anything with it for so many years that somebody fucking bought it today. Yeah, they just had somebody randomly buy it. It's not a company. It's just some random person
Super
that bought. Yeah. Okay. Now here's an article you might like. The sun, hot stuff. Still not caught COVID? It might be down to how attractive you are, scientists say. Beauty may be more than just skin deep after all. Scientists would just have suggested that the more attractive you are, the stronger your immunity is, and therefore you're at a lower risk of catching COVID. It could explain why you or your friend has still managed to dodge COVID despite being exposed to it a dozen times. This theory was tested on a bunch of participants. Researchers took photos and blood tests of 79 women and 80 men at Texas Christian University. Afterwards, 492 other volunteers were asked to rate the facial attractiveness of the participants based on the facial photos that were taken. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as they say. However, in the opinion of the study, researchers, universal understanding of good looks transcend time and even cultures. Features such as clear skin, prominent cheekbones, bright eyes, and full red lips have been deemed attractive throughout recorded human history, said the paper, published by the Proceedings of the Royal Society B. A symmetrical face has also been consistently shown as favorable in research. The study found that the most attractive participants had clear makers of better immunity in their blood samples. For example, they had higher levels of phagocytosis, the process by which specific white blood cells ingest foreign particles, which is useful for fighting bacterial illnesses. But in terms of viruses such as COVID, it appeared only the hottest men had built-in protection. Women rated with high-functioning killer immune cells that protect the body from viral infection, women rated men with high-functioning killer immune cells more handsome compared with men with low-functioning cells.
Well, it's probably something biological about finding the best partner.
Yeah.
But, you know, funny thing is, my brother and his wife and both my nieces all got COVID. So, and he's always full of himself, thinks he's better looking than me.
Ah.
I'm going to have to tell him, guess what? There's just a study came out and said, you're ugly as shit.
Ah. But men saw women as both beautiful and lesser, so regardless of their... Well, that doesn't make sense. But men saw women as both beautiful and lesser, so regardless of their virus-fighting cells. Okay, that's bad writing. More than a pretty face. The researchers proposed that it's not a person's beauty that makes them less likely to get sick. Rather, their high-functioning immune system makes them appear more beautiful as voted by other people. They proposed that facial features considered to be attractive could actually be markers of good health. The features that... humans universally perceive as attractive may provide clues to unobservable qualities possessed by a target that impact fitness, including health and immune function, the paper said. It implies that our attraction to a beautiful person is rooted in trying to find a partner that will benefit the survival of our offspring. Features such as bright eyes and clear skin can also be an indicator that the person is healthy. It is also possible that links between attractiveness and health may be obscured in modern humans, given that human mate preferences were forged before the advent of modern medicine, the author suggests. That is, although attractiveness may have cued both health and immune function in ancestral populations, the links with health may no longer occur as modern medicine allows those with immunocompetence to stay in relatively good health. Summer Menkolch, who led the study, told the Daily Mail, people who go to a bar looking to talk to someone attractive are often being dismissed as shallow and told it's not all about looks, but they are really just following their instincts to find a high-quality mate. Previous research into attractiveness and health have not always made the same conclusions, the authors note. Top immunologists do think there could be a reason behind why some people appear super immune to COVID. It could be down to their genetics or prior immunity to other viruses, but so far, it remains a mystery. Well, I've never caught it, and you've never caught it.
Yep.
Let's see, our current understanding of the human... Okay, well, that's not... I post something about PFAS, which is basically a hormone that makes women go through early puberty and explains a lot of why these 16-year-olds look like 20-year-olds and all that. And PFAS are in everything. Like, everything. And I'm not even talking about just the...
PFA.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about plastics.
Yeah.
Now, there are some scenes I guess I can't show because... I mean, there's so much I'm trying not to show because I want to put some of this on BitChute, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe little bits won't get me in trouble, hopefully. Okay, we talked about that. All right, here we go. We've got another one from... Give me a second, guys, while you watch the little story here. The Washington Post. Texas governor directs state agencies to investigate gender-affirming care for trans youth as child abuse. Texas Governor Greg Abbott directed state agencies this week to conduct prompt and thorough investigations into the use of gender-affirming care for transgender children, a move that follows an opinion from the state attorney general that such treatments are a form of child abuse. In a letter Tuesday to the state's Department of Family and Protective Services, Abbott cited an opinion issued Friday by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, stating that certain gender-affirming treatments from transgender children, including gender reassignment surgery and puberty-blocking medications, can legally constitute child abuse under several provisions of the state law. Abbott wrote that the Protective Services Agency is responsible for protecting children from abuse, adding in a tweet Tuesday that the agency will refer for prosecution any such abuse. The Department of Family and Protective Services did not respond to requests for comment from the Washington Post late Tuesday on whether it would follow the directive. A spokesperson from the agency told the Dallas Morning News that it will follow Texas law as explained by Paxton's opinion, adding that it had no pending investigations. Abbott said Texas doctors, nurses, and teachers have an obligation to report instances of child abuse, and that existing law provides criminal penalties for failure to report such abuse. Members of the public have similar requirements, Abbott wrote. The directive is the state's latest attempt to limit gender-affirming care for transgender youth. In October, Abbott signed a law that bans transgender girls from playing with female sports teams in public schools. In August, Department of Family Services, Family and Protective Services began to recognize certain gender-affirming surgeries as child abuse after receiving pressure from the governor, the Texas Tribune reported. Texas is among several states that have attempted to restrict the treatments for transgender youth, along with limits to bathroom access and participation in sports. In April, Arkansas legislators passed the country's first law banning gender-affirming treatments for minors. This month, South Dakota Governor Kristi L. Noem signed a bill that bans transgender girls and college-age women from participating in female sports, joining 9 other states that have passed such a ban, the Post reported. Major medical associations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, have supported the use of gender-affirming care for transgender children, although doctors generally recommend waiting until a child reaches puberty to begin medications such as puberty blockers or hormone treatments, the Post has reported.
Even then, you know, that they have a show on, I want to say TLC, My Name is Jazz, about that transgender girl or whatever it is.
I don't even pay much attention.
Well, anyway, she can't have a vagina made because she took those hormone blockers so early. Her penis didn't grow fully, and you need so much penis.
That sound okay. There's something wrong with what you just said.
What? Oh, calling it a her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sounds.
I remember Pat.
Yeah.
The morning news reported that it's unclear. Is that a Saturday Night Live thing?
Yeah, it's a Saturday Night Live.
Oh my God!
You know how woke they are now. Shoot, you think about the 90s?
You know what I need to do? I need to go find all those Saturday Night Live shows.
Yeah, the 90s, all collection. The cast were very Christian. And, like, that's the best, one of the best decades for Saturday Night Live.
I'm going to grab their 80s and their 90s stuff. I'll bet that's good. I'll bet that's all good shit.
70s through the
70s 90s, through the 90s.
And even up until this newest cast.
I'd say 70s and 90s. Yeah. After anything after. I mean, well, I'm not saying that they're bad, but maybe the 2000s.
Didn't really get woke
till 2010.
This current cast.
2010.
Maybe not even all of the current cast, but most, you know, they kind of mixed right
but
now.
But all the classic good people that you remember will be in the 80s and 90s. All the.
Well, you got Andy Samberg, Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah.
Them, and
I'll bet they were just in good stuff. The
early 2000s.
So I'll have to go check all that out and grab those. The Morning News reported that it's unclear whether every state agency will follow Abbott's directive, as Paxton's opinion does not carry legal force. Some prosecutors and county attorneys have said they will not follow the order, the newspaper reported. Harris County Attorney Christian D. Menefee, out of the Houston metro area, in a statement accused Abbott and Paxton of ignoring medical professionals and intentionally misrepresenting the law to the detriment of transgender children and their families. The fuck is a transgender child? That's my fucking issue.
It's a kid whose parents decided they wanted a different gender for a kid.
Yeah, which is child abuse.
Yeah, you gotta wait. Let that kid make his own decision.
It's fucking child abuse, man. Any way you look at it. As a lawyer who represents DFPS and civil child abuse cases in Harris County, I can tell you my office won't be participating in this political game, Menefee added in a tweet. Both the district attorney's office and the county attorney's office in Travis County, where Austin is located, told the Morning News they would not adhere to the directive. Travis County Attorney Dalia Garza, Democrat, told the paper that Republican leadership of this state is trying to turn loving and supportive parents into criminals, and this office will play no part in it. Fuck off. It's ridiculous. And all these goddamn people. I didn't even... No, I'm not even going to read the comments. It makes you want to strangle people.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Okay. Now, here's something interesting. GamblingNews.com. NFT scam. Porn star disappears with $1.5 million, says report. Mm. Last month, the famous porn star influencer, Lana Rhodes, started her own NFT project. Because, of course, she did. Promising a lucrative investment, the project raised some $1.5 million. It was all going well until Rhodes dumped the project and disappeared with the money and what turned out to be another NFT scam, a new report reveals. NFT project turns to rug pull. CoffeeZilla, the famous YouTube investigator, released details regarding the elaborate scam in one of his recent videos. Rhodes' lucrative project that turned out to be a scam was dubbed Cryptosis. The project started last month and it featured NFTs of cartoony images of the porn star. But Rhodes herself put in some effort to sell the project to her audience. According to her, the project was crafted with a goal to increase value for the NFT holders, making it a lucrative investment. Moreover, Rhodes promised the holders to sell for more than they paid to mint. While that doesn't sound convincing for others, others don't need a lot to spend some money on an NFT. What is more, in a second post on social media, she claimed that the project isn't just a one-time thing. She outlined that other models have also signed to create their own collections. Sure they did. The lucrative project was also compared to an NFT franchise, and Rhodes explained that the brand itself and value will continuously grow. Rhodes' NFT project also featured a roadmap promising various incentives once sales hit a specific percentage. In an unfortunate turn of events, at least for the users who purchased the NFTs, not even a week after the $1.5 million was raised, she disappeared from the digital landscape. Cashing out the amount in Ethereum, the famous porn star claimed that the community became negative and rude towards her. While some of the people who fell for the elaborate scam only lost money, one will certainly remember the project forever. Yes, one of the many people decided to invest in Rhodes NFTs even tattooed the logo of the project on them before the scam was uncovered. Comments on Reddit regarding the topic vary. Some users asked if the porn star would get arrested, while others simply laugh at the people who fell for the latest rug pull. One user, nicknamed Salt Vault 7, I like that, said that the regret is beautiful. Moreover, they questioned whether people are aware that NFTs are not a part of blockchain. According to that user, those NFTs are simply worthless barcode pics. Yeah? Certainly, Rhodes' Twitter account is 1.5... Oh, currently, her Twitter account is 1.5 million followers. The famous influencer hasn't posted since Sunday, and in her recent tweets, there's no information regarding the project. Still, her profile picture is the animated logo of the project itself. Oof! CoffeeZilla. I will have to check CoffeeZilla out.
Easily.
On YouTube. Seems to get to the bottom of things. I like people that get to the bottom of things. Okay, Newsweek. Arizona man shocked to find out his mother's donated body was strapped to a chair and donated in the U.S. military blast testing.
Wow. That's terrible.
This is old news, but it's fun news. The Arizona body this is actually 2019 news, but that's fine.
When you donate a body to science, you're like, oh man, I hope she helps cure cancer or something. Not like, oh, they blasted her into space.
The Arizona Body Donation Center, where FBI agents discovered a woman's head soon onto a male body like Frankenstein, also sold an elderly woman's corpse to the U.S. Army to be blown up in blast testing experiment. Jim Stelfer donated his mother's body to the Biological Resource Center in Maricopa County, Arizona in 2013 after she died at 74. Doris Stelfer suffered from Alzheimer's during the final years of her life. Doctors believe the disease may have mutated, as she did not have the usual Alzheimer's gene, and they hoped to study her brain after her death. After neurologists said they could not accept the body. Wow. Jim Stelfer donated it to the BRC, and the hopes her brain could still be used for scientific research. Several days later, Jim Stelfer received a wooden box containing his mother's ashes. He was never told how his mother's body had been used at the center. Years later, Reuters report revealed that her brain was never used for Alzheimer's research. Instead, the body was sold off to the U.S. Army so it could be used as part of an experiment to measure damage caused by roadside bombs. She was then supposedly strapped in a chair on some sort of apparatus, and detonation took place underneath her to basically kind of...
That's terrible. Even
get an idea of what the human body goes through when a vehicle is hit by an IED, Jim Stelfer told ABC 50. There was actually wording on this paperwork about performing this stuff, he added. Performing these medical tests that may involve explosions, and we said no. We checked the no box on all that. According to Reuters, at least 20 bodies donated to BRC were sold off to the Army for blast experiments without their families' consent. The bodies were sold for around $6,000 each. The donation center is no longer operating. It was raided in 2014 by the FBI following accusations that it was selling donated bodies for profit. It was during the 2014 raid that the agents made several horrific discoveries, including a woman's head sewn onto a male torso, dismembered limbs and head strewn about in a cooler filled with male genitalia. BRC's owner, Stephen Gore, pleaded guilty to illegal control of an enterprise in 2015 and is currently serving probation. Because of course he is. Jim Stelfer is one of several people currently suing Gore and BRC. He described how Gore had stolen a lot more than my mom's body with his actions. Because every time you think about her, every time there's a memory, every time there's a photograph you look at, there's this ugly thing that happened. Just right there, staring right out. Man.
That is rough. It's bad enough just your family member passing away, much less that. That's terrible.
Yeah, that is insane. Now we got another one. I think this might be our second to last article. Because I think the last one is just some small thing I have. Okay, the National Pulse. Pfizer is funding Facebook's fact-checking partner. Because of course they are. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer Inc. is sponsoring journal... no news. No news, thank you. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer is sponsoring journalism training programs utilized by Facebook to train its fact-checking partners and censor stories and posts critical of COVID-19 vaccines. The International Center for Journalists, ICFJ, itself funded by the Open Society Foundations, among others, has partnered with Meta, Facebook's parent company, on its journalism project and initiative. In turn, Facebook relies on journalists funded and trained by the ICFJ to combat misinformation on its platform through its controversial fact-checking operation. Together, Facebook and the ICFJ have funded news outlets based in Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East with a focus on COVID-19 reporting. Facebook's fact-checking partner, ICFJ, however, also received financial backing from Pfizer, with its recently announced 2022 Arthur F. Burns Fellowship, named after a former Federal Reserve chairman, lists the pharmaceutical giant as one of the program's sponsors. ICFJ's longest-running program, the Arthur F. Burns Fellowship, provides talented young U.S., German, and Canadian journalists the opportunity to live and work in each other's country, explains the program's summary. The program has produced dozens of alumni who now work as foreign correspondents in 20 countries for well-known news outlets such as the Washington Post, Reuters, CNN, ARD, Deutsche Welle, and Süddeutsche Zeitung. according to the ICFJ. Oh, hold on. The financial relationship with Pfizer dates back to 2008 at least, as a center and part of the pharmaceutical firm on a training workshop on journalistic coverage of health issues across Latin America. The objective of this workshop is to generate greater awareness about the importance of coverage of health issues in the region and remember how the media can become leading actors when it comes to informing and educating the public about health issues that directly affect your health and quality of life, explains a summary. The sole sponsor of the workshop, which also addressed reporting on cardiovascular diseases, was Pfizer. The unearthed financial ties between Pfizer and Facebook's fact-checking operation followed the pharmaceutical giant having additional conflicts of interest with news outlets, including Reuters. Yep. Of course. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Not even surprising. And the last thing we have to say is, according to the Department of Defense, the Pentagon says that the Nintendo generation has weak skeletons. Yep, the Army pretty much says that if you play video games of that generation, they're more likely to have issues. That she felt that.
He almost made it.
She felt that. I think I actually will finish it at this point. Hold on. Let's see where we're at here. Gonna jump over the log. Over the gap. And again, this is an erotic game, folks, but it proves that erotic games can be fun. Like, this is actually kind of fun to run away from the big
boob. It doesn't make the nudity and sex.
Yeah, it doesn't make it the main part. Yeah. And that's why it's a fun game. Because, I mean, just like rants. Rants, yeah, there's sex in those rants games, but that's not all of it. Same thing with Evenickel. Like, some guy was talking on, was like, oh, this game doesn't have any gameplay. What the fuck do you mean? It's like, if you just like TNA, I was like, dude, you crawl through dungeons in this game, you idiot. It's a 60-something hour game. You really mean to tell me it's 65 plus hours of just... No, it's not. Yes, you have sex with different women and stuff like that, but you go through dungeons and you level up and you fight monsters. Like any role-playing game since the fucking genre was invented.
The stage is clear.
Yeah, I got through that one. Alright, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we'll be back with more articles, because we actually ran out, dude. Hopefully we'll have some other things going. I want to try to interview Revy, and want to try to get some other stuff done.
I'm surprised you didn't do anything on Ukraine.
I didn't have anything. They didn't give me anything.
Yeah.
I can only give what they give me articles for.
Yeah, get... Oh, I got you.
Yeah. I mean, I could have got some articles myself, but, I mean, Ukraine's been covered. Like, we talked about Ukraine in the open mic. We talked about the war in the open mic. The only thing about the war that really is going to be of concern is the price of meat and the price of gas is probably going to go up.
Oh, yeah, it's already gone up.
Yeah, it's going to go up more.
Oh, you know, Putin has his nuclear team on high alert right now.
I figured.
And I think it has to do with the sanctions and everyone turning against mm-hmm. them in NATO.
Mm-hmm.
But, no. Oh, you know, Biden really knows how to screw something up.
Yeah, he does. Scene has been added to H-scene mode.
They need, if this goes bad and somehow it affects the U.S., they need to hurry up and get some good leadership in this country or
right.
we're doomed. He's done all this in under a year.
Almost done with this. It's, yeah, it's gonna stop. And when it gets to the next video, we're gonna be out. Oh, we're out. All right, folks. I'll see you guys next time on The Grim Articles Show with DP.
Oh, yeah.
And as always, enjoy the decline.
Later.